How was your week, your weekend? Good to be alive? The alternative is only good if you know Christ. In 1941, a man by the name of George Day McStraw and his dog were taking a walk through the woods. And when he got home, he noticed these burrs stuck to his pants, to his dog's fur. Being an engineer, he was curious, and so he put the burr under a microscope and was intrigued by what he found. And 14 years later, he produced and patented what we now would call Velcro. I like Velcro. Who in here uses Velcro? Yeah. I wrote down some of the qualities of Velcro. It's lightweight, easy to use, sticks really good. Not messy, pretty cheap, comes in different colors. Who in here has Velcro on your shoes right now? Who in here has Velcro holding your pants up? You know, one of the things, when I think about Velcro, that comes to mind that maybe its greatest characteristic, maybe that what gives it such great value, is how well it, what? Sticks. How it sticks together. And I think the same is true for people who stick together or stick to things that they should. In fact, we're going to look in God's Word today to see what He says about the value of sticking together and sticking to things that He tells us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truth that sets us free. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Show us the things You want to show us today about our stick factor. Help us to make great decisions. Help us to use wisdom and discernment as we move forward. And I pray, Lord, that we would find ways to live out this message in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 15. John 15. I have a question on the screen here. What's your stick factor? How are you when it comes to sticking to things you should stick to? Sticking with people, stick up for people, stick together. There are some things that we shouldn't stay stuck to. So I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about staying stuck or staying stuck to things that aren't good for you. Like bad habits. Some of you are stuck in some bad habits, but you shouldn't stay there. Bad relationships. If you're married, don't get any ideas. Bad moods. Bad attitudes. Bad jobs. Whatever it is. There are some things that we shouldn't stay stuck in or stuck to. But what I want to talk about today are some things, some good things, maybe some God things that God says He wants us to stay stuck to. He uses the word remain. But I like the term and the idea of Velcro. And so I had to interchange this word remain with stick. Right? Some things to remain in, some things to stay stuck to. Let's look at John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to His disciples, having a final conversation with them before He goes and gets arrested and eventually goes to the cross. And He challenges them to stick to something that's going to be for their good. Picking up in verse 4, He says this. Verse 4 says, He tells them, "Remain in Me." Because He knows what's about to happen is going to cause them to maybe not think about remaining in Him or with Him. Who knows, sometimes when the going gets tough, sometimes it's hard to stick to things that we know we should stick to. The enemy comes in, tries to get us to think a different way, go a different direction. He says, "Remain in Me as I also remain in you." In other words, stick with Me. And then He uses a stick illustration, a branch, work with me. Is that a branch or a stick? That's my point. Okay. He says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the what?
Vine.
In the vine. And then he makes an application. He says, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And here's why. Because I am the vine. I read that several times. I am the vine. I am divine. I am the vine. Hopefully you won't forget it. He says, I'm divine. And you are the branches. And if you remain in me and I remain in you, like if we stick together like Velcro, you will bear much fruit. But the alternative is if you depart from me or if you're apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Imagine you're walking by a tree and you look on the ground like I did yesterday when I gathered these limbs. And I noticed these limbs were not attached to the tree any longer. Therefore, they are no longer what? Fruitful. They might serve some other purpose, but they're not serving their original purpose. And God says that's the way it is when you separate yourself from me, when you unstick yourself from me. You're no longer able to fulfill your original purpose that I designed and created you for. That word remain in the Greek is the word mene, which means to stay, to abide, to dwell. Here's what John's saying. If you don't stay in Christ, if you stay in Christ, Christ will stay in you. If you abide in Christ, Christ will abide in you. If you dwell in Christ, Christ will dwell in you. If you remain in me, I will remain in you, like Velcro. And that's good because sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we're inconsistent and we don't stay stuck. We detach, we depart, we pull back for whatever reasons. And so I think Jesus found it worth his time and energy to make this point really clear to those who were following him. And here we are 2,000 years later still following him, and I think the same thing comes on us. We have these tendencies when things aren't going right or going well or the way we expect them to pull back, to detach, to unstick ourselves from the things that we need to stick to, and eventually we get to a place, we find ourselves in a place where we're saying things like, how in the world did I get here? How did I get from where I was to where I am? And I think it has something to do with what I'm talking about. Not only in our spiritual walk, but what about in your marriage?
Well.
Yeah. How many marriages have said, how did we get here? Usually when I'm talking to married couples that are having issues, they're not really marriage problems. They're just problems in the context of a marriage. And because you spend so much time together, they usually get revealed in that relationship probably more than any other relationship. But usually it's because of something I'm getting ready to talk about. Or in a friendship. Or in your spiritual walk, maybe even in ministry. We can allow things to come in the way and interfere in our relationship and our closeness, our stickiness to God, to Jesus, to the things of God. And so this morning I want to share a few practical ways of how we can stick to things that we need to stick to so that we can remain faithful in our relationships and in our walk with God and with other people. Are you ready? So if you're taking notes, here's number one. Stay in God's Word. Stay in God's Word. If you want to stay connected to God, you need to stay connected to God's Word. Joshua 1:8 says, study this book of instruction. What's that next word? Continually, not just on Sundays. Not just at Bible study or in Bible study. He says continually. Well, what do you mean by continually? He says meditate on it day and night. That sounds to me like daily. For years, I've always said you need to eat God's word as often as you eat natural food. That's every day, usually, for most of us, and that's throughout the day. He says, study this book continually. Meditate on it day and night. So, here's the benefit, you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. The book of instruction he was referring to was not the Bible. It was the Torah, specifically the first five books or scrolls, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What Jesus in the New Testament would look back on and refer to as the law of Moses. And now we have both the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we consider as Christians to be God's word. And that's what we spend time in now, or should spend time in continually, day and night, every day, meditating on, so that we'll produce fruit, be successful in God's eyes. And with technology, it's at our fingertips. I mean, there's no reason why we can't get in God's word on a regular basis. You remain in God's word will remain in you, you'll stay refreshed. You'll stay spiritually nourished, just like the branch that stays connected to the tree. And so may I encourage you, if you're not already doing this, is to, starting today or maybe in the morning, commit to God to say, you know what, I need to start having a daily quiet time again. Or maybe I need to start having a daily quiet time. I've never done that. I don't want to be like that branch that ended up on the ground, separated from the tree, the root, the source of its nourishment. Spiritually speaking, and in my relationships, I don't want to be disconnected. I don't want to wither. I don't want to be dried up. I want to enjoy my life. I want to enjoy my relationships. And so the first thing we can do is stay in God's word. Number two, if you're taking notes, you need to stay in prayer. You want to stay connected to God. You need to stay connected to his word and to him in prayer. Now, who knows, those are the two things that the enemy knows that will nourish you and bring vitality into your spiritual life that he's going to try every way he can to keep you out of or keep you from doing. He'll keep you busy. He'll keep you distracted. He'll keep you tired. Who in here sometimes just is too tired to eat? Not me. Not me. I kind of lured you into that trap, didn't I? Listen. Yeah, you're tired. Guess what? That's probably when you need to crack it open and read it. That's probably when you need to just take a few minutes out and say, Lord, I am tired. I need to talk with you right now. Don't let those be reasons why you don't do what you need. Don't let the devil have his way with you and trying to talk you out of doing these things that we know is vital. Staying in God's word, staying in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, this is Paul writing to believers in Thessalonica. And in this letter, he was kind of giving final instructions of what to do until Jesus returns. We're still in that period. We're still waiting for Jesus to return. He says, pray what? There's the word again. Pray continually. We're to read God's word continually, and we're to pray continually, for this is God's will for all of you. That's still true for us today. It's still God's will for us to stay in his word and to pray continually. Because we know that when we quit praying, the same thing happens. We kind of slip slide away from God in our relationship. We don't hear him quite as well as we used to hear him. We don't understand him quite as well as we used to understand him. We start thinking things that aren't really true with him. And we might think they're true. Somehow somebody's convinced us that this lie we're believing is really the truth, and it just messes with us. And to figure all that out, you got to go back to the source. You got to reattach the limb to the tree. You got to get back in God's word. You got to get back in prayer and say, Lord, help me, because I'm really messed up right now, but I need to get back on track with you. Now, it says pray continually. Not that you have to pray all day long or pray really long prayers. The way I look at this word continually is just throughout the day. Yes, throughout the day. You might start with a quiet time, but it doesn't stop there. You know, you're driving to work or you're driving somewhere. If you're not with somebody else, you're by yourself, it's a great time to have a conversation with God. Just throughout the day. Who in here knows what I'm talking about, and you actually do that? Maybe some of you don't. And sometimes I talk out loud to him. Sometimes I have long conversations. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes it's just real simple, like, Lord, I need your help right now. Or I need you to help me change my mind about something. Or I need to change my attitude or my emotions. I'm coming in this morning. I was just feeling a little bit discouraged, and I just started practicing what I knew I was going to be preaching. And I said, Lord, I need you to change my heart and my attitude right now. And I repented. I asked forgiveness for having some bad attitudes. And I said, restore in me the joy I had on the day of my salvation. And somehow between that prayer and right now, he did that and he's doing that. But I'm not telling you to do anything I don't have to do. And I do it because I know it works. But I have a choice just like you do. I can choose to do it or not. And usually when I don't, things don't get better. And then those that live around you, like my sweet little wife, has to live with that. You know, and she's seen negative fruit on my branches. That's not really fair to her. I need to keep my joy. I need to walk by faith. I need to focus on the future, not on the pit that I feel like I'm in today, right? Again, we need to stay tuned in. And having a daily quiet time is a great way to stay in God's Word, stay in prayer continually. Then here's number three, stay in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. When I think of fellowship, I think of two fellows in a ship going the same direction. Right? That's fellowship. I'm talking about Christ-centered fellowship. Listen to Hebrews 10:25. It says, and let us not neglect or forget our what? Meeting together. As some people do. Now, you can read that both ways. Some people have neglected it. Probably many people have neglected it. And some of us remember the importance of it. Those are typically the ones that are here in church today. Amen? Amen. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So when believers come together regularly, continually, to share God's word, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, it's how we stay connected to the vine, to the vine and the other branches. That's you and me. I wrote down here, there's this phrase that I've used for years called, I believe, and we use it in our life group ministry, bringing people together, we're better together. I would say we're stronger together. If I could have these five people join me on stage real quick. These five people right here. And Peggy, why don't you join? Come on. You're the big boy, the big stick. Come on. Come on. No. Oh. The girl took the big stick from mama. Now, real quick, that's just one stick, and one stick by itself isn't hard to break. Would you show these guys your strength and just break that stick right now? Just break it. Just break it. Hey, just break it. Come on, break it. Break your stick. Would y'all just break your sticks, please? Come on, mighty mama. Come on. There you go. Hey, would you pop it hard? Oh, come on. Would you? Come here. Hold your knee up. Now, put those down. Just put them in a little stack right over here. I'm gonna give you another chance. going to give you another chance. Don't break it yet. Don't break it yet. Don't break it yet.
Now she wants a little one.
Break it. Now I want y'all to circle up here. Circle up here. And I want y'all to come together. I want you to stick together. I want you to put all those sticks together in a bundle. Andy, get them in a bundle. Get them in a bundle. Now, Andy, I want you to hold that bundle. All the sticks are together now. Are they all together?
Yes, sir.
Are they all together? Make sure this one's in there. Hold on. Now, Andy, I want you to take that bundle right there. I want you to break it. Andy, can you break that?
No, sir.
Why not?
No, sir. I need help.
Huh?
I need help.
Why can't you break that? Would you agree that when we're by ourselves as branches, we're easier to break?
Amen.
But when we come together and we stay together in fellowship, it's harder. Amen. Amen. Good. You put those down. All right, y'all can go sit down. Y'all stay together, though. Which explains why the enemy works overtime to try to get us to separate.
That's right. That's right.
And to stay at home. And to not show up when we're tired. You're just a sitting target. And then we get the calls. We get the calls from those that have been separated and detached and unvelcroed. And then we, well, what do we tell them? Well, are you in a life group? No. You in a Bible study? No. You serve in a ministry? No. I'm thinking, why are you a member of this church? Why are you doing that to yourself? Why don't you get in fellowship? Get in relationship. Get in your word. Get in prayer. Stay in fellowship. The early church knew how important this was because they were certainly going through a season or a time of persecution. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, all the believers devoted themselves. That means they made it a commitment, a priority. They were intentional about it. They devoted themselves to, watch this, the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching? The word. And to fellowship. We just talked about that. And to sharing in meals. Now, we're rock stars when it comes to eating. Including the Lord's Supper. That's what we just did. And to what?
Prayer.
And to prayer. It says they worshiped together at the temple each day. That's what we're doing today, large group worship, right? What I would call what? We sit in rows. But they also, watch this, they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. They met in small groups as well, what we call what? Circles. On Sunday, we come together in rows. During the week, in small groups, Bible studies, we sit in circles. All the while, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord did what? They added to their fellowship those who were being saved. I wrote down a current statistic. Last week I had Julie run some numbers just out of curiosity about have we grown, has our church grown? And I measured it in two ways. I measured it in attendance and I measured it in giving. Those are two growth indicators of any church. And in attendance, if we compared this season last year with this season this year, we have grown, but it wasn't a percentage that I would really want to brag about. It was 2%. So I took average attendance for March, April, May last year, compared it to March, April, May this year, and it was 2%. Better than none. We're not shrinking. Some churches are shrinking. But I don't know if that's G Church standard. As a member of our church, does 2% growth get you excited? So knowing that, would you be praying about, God, what do I need to do? What do we need to do to grow our fellowship? Because the last time I checked, there's a lot of believers in the family that need to grow spiritually stronger. And there's some outsiders that aren't in God's family that need to come to God and grow in God. And we know them. We know people we work with, we live with. We've gotten out of the habit of talking about it and inviting people to church. And we never know when we're going to have our last day on earth. We don't know when it's going to be over. And let's minimize the chance of us having regrets, knowing that we could have invited somebody to come into God's family. We could have encouraged somebody to get off the bench, get back in the game, and we didn't. Something happened. So just a thought. Now, financially, we did pretty good. We were 9%. That's pretty good, healthy growth financially. But I'm more interested in the first number. Because when we started our church, our main purpose was to reach the lost and disciple the saved.
Amen.
And if that's only increasing 2% a year, that's hard to get me excited or stay excited about that. And probably the same to you. I say together, let's get together and let's pray. And let's say, God, start bringing them in.
Amen.
But you know what? Why should he bring them in if members of the church aren't coming in? So this is a wake-up call for both parties, amen? So staying in fellowship. I believe that fellowship is the spiritual Velcro that holds the church and families together. And then here's number four, stay in ministry. Stay in ministry. Remain faithful to serve God and serve others. Listen to what Paul writes in Galatians. He says, God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to serve him. That's true for you and true for me. God had a plan and a purpose for creating you. It was for his glory. It was to do his works. Now, second to that, yeah, have a relationship. Yeah, you got to get a job. You got to figure out a way to, you know, survive on earth. But your primary purpose is to serve God and to serve others.
Amen.
And then in Galatians 6:9, just five chapters later, he says, so let us not become tired of doing good. Who in here knows that sometimes you can grow weary in serving? If you're in life groups today, that's one of the questions on your discussion question. What are some ways we grow weary, and what are some ways we can keep from growing weary? You know, Tammy and I have been in ministry for nearly 40 years, and we've had seasons of weariness, but you know what? Over the years, we've learned how to not stay there. Right? We got to keep a fresh wind in our sail. It goes back to staying connected in God's word and staying connected in prayer and staying in the fellowship. You have to find ways to not grow weary. You have to find ways not to burn out, to stay balanced. Sometimes we let our priorities get upside down, and so we start experiencing upside downness in our walk. Naturally, instinctively, we want to be served. But Jesus said, that's not how you stay connected. The way you stay connected is through the vine. You know this. When you do something good for somebody else, and you know it really blessed them, you know that good feeling? Hopefully it comes from a heart of love. Where does that come from? The vine. That's one way the branch is being nourished by the vine to serve its purpose and to produce fruit. That also happens when we serve others in church or serve others around us. Some of you have ministries outside the church. That's great. But we have ministries in the church that need more people, more branches to help carry out the ministry. Right now, we have a lot of members that aren't serving anywhere in their church. And I'm going to challenge you to change that. This is your church. You should be serving somewhere in this church in addition to if you serve somewhere else. And instead of me having to send out an email to, you know, guilt you or shame you into serving, I can go there real quick. Doesn't mean it's the best way. The best way is for you to call and say, hey, I'm not serving right now. I need to. God designed me to do that. Where do you need help? And normally we ask you, well, what are you good at? Because we don't want to put you somewhere where you won't be good. Why don't you help us by emailing Julie or the church office and saying, hey, I need to get back in the game. Where do you need me? And that would be really great. What if every member was serving and not swerving? Wouldn't that be glorious? We'd have second and third strings. We'd have a deep bench. Listen, that's one way you don't get burned out. If the ones that aren't in the game would come in the game. You know, I was watching the UT game yesterday, and that was one of the things that they said, Coach Sarkisian, what do they call him, Sark? That's one of the things he did really well. was he has a really deep bench, especially on his defense. I think they had over 25 different defensive players in the game yesterday. It was 160 degrees down on the field. And the reason they did well was they had a deep bench. And right now, I don't think our church has a deep bench. And so those that are in it to win it, they're serving a lot more than they should. I don't want them to get burned out. I want to bring people that are on the bench back into the game, and let's share the love. Amen?
Amen.
And then Jesus goes on to tell us what happens when we don't remain. Verse 6, he says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. What did he mean by that? You know, one of the things I wrote down here is, well, they were no longer bearing fruit. They were no longer serving their purpose. They really kind of became useless for that. And so they were done away with. Now, I'm not certain if his implication was, if you don't remain in me, you're going to wither and die and be thrown into the fire, eternal fires of hell. In other words, you're going to lose your salvation. I don't think he means that. He could. There's people on both sides of the aisle that would, some say, yes, that's true. He's talking about losing your salvation. Others, no. There's 80 scriptures that speak to both arguments. And we can get caught up in that and divide a church real quick. But I would say, listen. That's not even an issue if you remain in him. If we all practice what I just preached, that's not even an issue. You don't even have to stay up late at night wondering and worrying about it. Just get in the game and remain in him, and it's going to work out good. And you're going to produce good fruit if you remain, if you stay stuck to him and the things that he's just encouraged us to stay stuck to. Can I hear a good amen? So what is God speaking to you right now? If he's the vine and you're the branch, what kind of branch are you? What kind of branch? How would you describe your branch? Are you a connected branch or are you a disconnected branch? If you're disconnected, why don't you find a way to get connected again? Are you a spiritually nourished branch or are you starving? Underfed, malnourished branch. Why don't you do something about that? Get in God's word. Get in prayer. Get in fellowship. Stay in fellowship. Find a ministry to serve in. That's how you bring your vitality back. It's what I call getting off the bench, getting back in the game. I played sports. I did not like sitting on a bench. I liked to get in the game. I didn't even like practice. Practice? You talking about practice? I hated it. I loved the game. But sometimes we have to practice in order to get in the game. Some of you are practicing what I've just preached. And you would say, it's been true for me. Because I'm doing these things, I would say the good outweighs the bad. I'm producing good fruit in my life. Things aren't perfect, but they're better than they used to be. Some of you are maybe thinking the opposite. Well, I'm not as connected as I should be, or I'm not connected at all, or I've kind of let my prayer life go flat, or I'm inconsistent in reading my word, or I'm not connected relationally at all, or not very much. I'm not serving, and I'm feeling it. And I would just say, hey, no condemnation, no guilt, no shame. Why don't you change that today? Change it this week. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always have what you've always had. And if you want something different, you got to do something different. And I pray that our whole church today would take this message to heart and remain in God's word and in prayer and in fellowship and in serving, and let God do something great in your life and let Him get all the glory for it. Can you say amen? Father, we thank You for this message today that's really a message about some basic things that we know, but maybe we've forgotten. Maybe we need to be reminded. We certainly don't want to be like these branches that have fallen off the tree. I pray that You would speak to me and everybody here today about what we need to do to be the branch that You need us to be as we're attached to You, the tree, so that our life will be great and You can be glorified. Before we end and sing this final song, there may be somebody here today in the house with us or online, and you're disconnected from the vine. Your life is dead spiritually. It's not glorifying God in any way. Maybe you've never come to God. Maybe you've never come to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never really become a branch connected to that vine. And today's the day to do that. Today would be a good day to do that. Today would be the best day to do that because you're drawing breath right now. One of the thoughts that I had about this is if you're a branch that stays disconnected from the tree of life, Jesus, you will never be in heaven, if that matters. The only way you'll be in heaven is if you're connected to Jesus. He said, I am the way, I am the only way to the Father. Without me, apart from me, you can't have it. So if that's you today, would you just raise a hand and say, I don't want to stay disconnected. The Bible says to confess your sin, repent. In other words, change your mind about staying where you are and turn to Jesus. Be intentional. Make it a priority. Devote yourself to Him, and He'll devote Himself to you. And that can change in an instant right now if you'll pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need saving. Forgive me for all my sins. Wash my heart clean. Wash my mind clean. I believe that You're the Son of God, that You died on a cross to pay for my sin's penalty. You shed Your blood, Your perfect blood, for all of my faults, for all of my sins. And I believe that Your blood was sufficient to atone for me. So today I say thank You. I receive it. Holy Spirit, would You come now and create in me a new heart, a new mind, make me a new creature in Christ. The old things pass away, behold, new things come. And from this day forward, I'm going to live the life that You designed for me to live. And I'll give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen, amen. Let's all stand and worship God and tell Him thank You for who He is. And may you be blessed this week, and I'll see you next Sunday.